This morning we are going to be continuing in Colossians, and if you could get your Bible and turn to Colossians 4, verses 5 through 6, I'll just pray for one moment. Father, I thank you that you have prepared us to hear your word this morning. I thank you that you have been continually preparing us to hear your word, that it would apply to our lives and apply to our hearts, O God. That we, Lord, would take your word and we would use it, we would exercise it, we would make it a part of who we are because of what you have done, Jesus, and we thank you. In Jesus' name. So in Colossians 4, verses 5 through 6, in this study of Colossians, I don't know about you guys, but it has been a little difficult for me to, again, hear some of the things that Paul is speaking to the church in Colossae. And so in that, we have had our toes trampled on a little bit. We have heard that that there are things in our lives that need to be aligned to the Word of God. There are corrections in our lives that Paul addresses, and he continually does that in Colossians 4. Colossians became a very special book to me as I was a young believer. It is somewhat of a manual, as a lot of those, Galatians, Colossians, Ephesians, Philippians, those books that Paul addresses the different churches, he's addressing us as well in those books. He instructs us, and the Word of God is a manual to us. And so as a young believer, I found out very early that my flesh tends to rise up. Even as a born-again believer, my flesh will tend to rise up from time to time. And Colossians has been my safeguard. It has been my anchor through those times where I've learned how to walk with Christ. And I know that those that I'm looking at, you've been walking with the Lord many years, and so you also have found strength in the Word of God. But I found out very early that whenever I was wronged in my life, it would have been very easy for me to rise up and give back what was given to me. And I found very early that if I forgive those that have wronged me, I'm also forgiven. You know, I have been forgiven before I even got wronged. How would I not be the one to also forgive? I also found very early, even in the ministry, that things can get awfully difficult and that there's a lot of work to be done. There's always a lot of work to be done. But I realize in Colossians that as I read that it's Christ that's doing the work in and through me, and that I don't need to rely on my own strength, that it's Christ in me that's completing those works that have already been laid out for me. Again, my flesh would rise up at different times, and I would realize that I have been born into a kingdom of light, not into a kingdom of darkness. That my place, my standing, is in a kingdom of light and not in darkness. I would be at work at different times and be around people that would say things that were not so nice about somebody that we all knew. And rather than get in that conversation with everyone else, the Lord would prompt me by his Holy Spirit, get out of there. I have no place being in that conversation. And so God, by his faithfulness, would direct us. I love the song, Waymaker, Miracle Worker, because it shows us that he is faithful and he is the one that will accomplish the work. We learned last week that Paul was telling us, he exhorted us to pray and to pray always and to pray with thanksgiving. That's something that is a continual flow for us. We continually have an open heaven before us that we can talk with our Father, and our Father can lead us and guide us and help us. This morning we're going to talk about the words that proceed from our mouth, and those words are a reflection of what's in our heart. Doesn't that sound like fun? In Colossians 4, verses 5 through 6, I'm actually going to be reading it in the New Living Translation. I don't know if Diane was going to be putting that up there, but this is what it says in the New Living Translation. It says, "Live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone." And it occurred to me, just the wording of this seems kind of peculiar, that it, you know, is Paul being hypocritical to say, you know, be wise how you live among unbelievers? And then it, you know, I started realizing he's not saying that we don't live wisely among those that we are family with, among the believers, but there's a distinction between the unbeliever and the believer. If I fail in front of you, if I am walking my Christian life and I fail in front of you, you are my family. You love me. You help me. You encourage me. You build me up. You lift me up. And you help me to get back on the right track. If I have sinned, you have instructed me. Repent. Recognize you've sinned. Rick has said this 100 times. Recognize you've sinned. Repent for your sin. Realize that you have redemption in Christ and return to the position that you were in. You have a safeguard in the family of God. But that is not so for the unbeliever. Whenever you walk in front of the unbeliever, you are showing them a picture of who Christ is. And if your walk is somehow failing or flawed or incorrect, the picture that you're projecting to the unbeliever is Christ. And in that picture, if you are projecting an incorrect picture, it does more harm than just you. It does harm in the body, or it does harm in their reaching God, reaching Christ. And so as we are the image of God, the image of Christ on this earth, you know, Paul instructs us, live wisely. Think about what you're doing in the lives of the unbelievers that surround you. Whenever you are conversing with those in your sphere of influence, whenever you are around those that you work with or those that you shop with or those in your family, these people that know that you are a believer, keep in mind that you are projecting something to them. And as you're projecting to them, Christ by his Holy Spirit will move through you and he will have his way through you. As we are living this life and we are yielding to the Holy Spirit, we are directed by the Holy Spirit to walk in fruits, the fruits of the Spirit. And I know that most of you probably know this, but the fruits of the Spirit are love and joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. And I've done my good scholarly homework to take a look at what each one of those fruits mean. And so we'll go through them. In the Greek, love is defined as affection and goodwill. Love and benevolence, brotherly love, that love is the agape love that goes beyond our earthly understanding, that goes beyond our capacity to love. It goes beyond. That's one of the fruits of the Spirit. Joy is cheerfulness and gladness. Peace is rest and quietness. Gentleness is moral goodness and integrity and kindness. Long-suffering, one of my favorite, is patience and forbearance and slowness in avenging wrongs. We don't want to avenge those that have wronged us. Goodness, the uprightness of heart and life. Faith, the conviction of truth and belief. Meekness, is the gentleness and humility that comes from only knowing Christ. Temperance comes from showing moderation and self-restraint. Self-control is another word that is sometimes used with temperance. I think temperance, and I think of like alcohol, the temperance, the movement, and all of that. But what it really means is self-control. And Jesus Christ is the embodiment of the fruits of the Spirit, and He works His fullness in us. I have pulled up a clip that I asked Diane to play for us. And in this clip, there is a gentleman that wrote a poem about the words that we speak and how they are so lacking in explaining who Jesus Christ is. If you want to go ahead and show that.
Is there words for him that I don't have them? You see, my brain has not yet reached a point where it could form a thought that could adequately describe the greatness of my God. And my lungs have not yet developed the ability to release a breath with enough agility to breathe out the greatness of His love. And my voice, you see, my voice is so inhibited, restrained by human limits, that it's hard to even send a praise up. You see, if there are words for Him, then I don't have them. My God, His grace is remarkable. Mercies are innumerable. Strength is impenetrable. He is honorable, accountable, favorable. He's unsearchable yet knowable. Indefinable yet approachable. Indescribable yet personal. He is beyond comprehension, further than imagination. Constitute generations, King of every nation. But if there are words for Him, then I don't have them. You see, my words are few. And to try and capture the one true God using my vocabulary would never do. But I use words as an expression of worship to a Savior who is both worthy and deserving of my praise. So I use words. My heart extols the Lord, blesses His name forever. He has won my heart, captured my mind, and is bound them both together. He has defeated me in my rebellion, conquered me in my sin. He has welcomed me into His presence, completely invited me in. He has made Himself the object of my sight, flooding me with mercies in the morning, drowning me with grace in the night. But if there are words for Him, then I don't have them. But what I do have is good news. For my God knew that man-made words would never do. For words are just tools that we use to point to the truth. So He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, as the Word, living proof. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created, giving nothingness formation. And by His Word He sustains in the power of His name. For He is before all things, and over all things He reigns. Holy is His name, so praise Him for His life. He persevered in strife, the humble Son of God becoming the perfect sacrifice. Praise Him for His death, that He willingly stood in our place, that He lovingly endured the grave, that He battled our enemy, and on the third day rose in victory. He is everything that was promised. Praise Him as a risen King. Lift your voice and sing, for one day He will return for us, and we will finally be united with our Savior for eternity. Eternity. So it's not just words that I proclaim, for my words point to the Word, and the Word has a name. Hope has a name. Joy has a name. Peace has a name. Love has a name. And that name is Jesus Christ. Praise His name.
Oh, hallelujah. Yeah. There truly are no words to express the great love that he has for you. He loves you beyond measure. He loves you beyond comprehension. He loves you beyond anything that you could imagine. You are so precious to him. He's bought you with a dear price. He's paid everything that needed to be paid. Okay. The second half of this scripture states that we are to redeem the time, to make the most of every opportunity. Paul again states in Ephesians 5:16, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. We live in an age where everything said and done is on display. The internet has made it possible for us to know instantly what is happening in every corner of the world, good or bad, true or false, all to the spin of the writer. Whatever the writer writes, that's what we take in. So it's important to understand that what you read, what you see, may not always be the truth. We have one truth, and that's the Word of God. We measure everything against that truth. Words and actions are globally accessible in this age. We're no longer in a closed community. Rochester is not a closed community. Fulton County is not a closed community. We are open to the world. Every generation is accessing the web. Every generation is utilizing social media. Communication is not what it used to be. I remember getting letters and cards in the mail whenever I was a child, even as a young adult. You know, I remember writing a gazillion thank you notes at my wedding, after my wedding, to those that had given and had shown up at my wedding. Seemed like a gazillion, where actually it wasn't that many at all, but but those days are gone. And so our communication today is something that is through texting and through Facebook and through Instagram. These words that we read and these words that we put out on social media, realize that they are a window of your soul. If you don't agree with them, I wouldn't be putting them out anywhere unless they are a perfect reflection of what is going on in your heart. Be careful about what you are throwing out there, literally throwing out there in social media. And I do want to just mention a word of caution about Facebook. I know that Facebook is a huge thing right now. We all get on Facebook. We want to see what our families and our friends are doing. But let me tell you something. It's become a hotbed of unbridled opinions and persuasive chatter and uncontrolled thoughts that are spouted out for all to see. And that whenever we spout those things out there, we don't take into account what's going to happen in the heart of the receiver. We just move it right along, or we just spout what's in our minds at the moment without running it through our hearts. Our true affirmation comes from the Lord. I know a lot of people that get upset if they don't have so many likes or so many loves or so many affirmations in Facebook. Yeah, that's what our generation is growing up with. That truly is where they're getting their affirmation. But it shouldn't be. You know, our true affirmation only comes from Christ. In so many ways, the enemy has used Facebook to weave a web of deception, and it has entangled people in relationships that shouldn't be. Relationships from your past that should not be, and Facebook somehow connects this long-forgotten, quote, friend that now is a part of your life again. You know, God removes people from our lives for reasons. Who are we to drag them back into our lives and make them a part of who we are now? We are not who we used to be. We are not who we used to be. We have been bought with a price. We are not who we used to be. Be careful with Facebook. You know, there's a false reality that the enemy has woven for us as we escape in Facebook. Our true affirmation, again, comes from Christ and Christ alone. In Colossians, I'm sorry if I stepped on anybody's toes regarding that, but please understand, this is something that is very real to us today. This is our today, and this is what we deal with today. So please understand that there are ways of escape. If that's something that has bound you, something that has enticed you, something that has strapped you into something that you feel as though you can't get out, there is a way of escape. Christ has made a way for you. Colossians 4, verse 5, the second half, says, make the most of every opportunity, redeeming the time. The definition of redeem in the Greek is to buy up or to ransom. And figuratively, it means to rescue from loss. The use of the word redeem, used in Colossians, is to make wise, sacred use of every opportunity for doing good, so that zeal and well-doing are, as it were, the purchase money by which we make the time our own. That same word redeem is the word that is used whenever it talks in Galatians 3:13 about Christ redeeming us. It says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. He literally bought us back from sin and death and fully paid the ransom. Our Father has much to say about our words. Here are only a few of the scriptures. In Proverbs 16:24, it says, gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Psalms 12:6 says this, the words of the Lord are flawless, like silver purified in a crucible, like gold refined seven times. These are the words of the Lord. Psalm 19:14, may these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Our words count for something. Our words mean something. They, again, they are a reflection of what's going on in our hearts. Colossians 4:6 says this, let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone. Everyone refers to both the believer and the non-believer alike. God, by his Holy Spirit, has given us a way to be able to speak life into every situation. He has given us by his Holy Spirit the way to be able to bring redemption into situations, whether they are a believer or a non-believer. In the arena of a believer, the Holy Spirit will give us the words to speak that will bring life. They will bring a quickening to the situation. They will waken us and just cause a movement of the Holy Spirit in a situation. In the lives of the unbeliever, if we pray, the Holy Spirit will give us windows of opportunity to be able to speak grace into their lives. We, like no one else, can speak grace from the very throne room of heaven into the lives of the unbelievers. Who knows? Who is aware of the timing and the perfectness of God to be able to open up their hearts to be able to receive Christ? You know, he will use us. There is a response from the unbeliever that we hate, and we have no love if we if the truth of God is not our reference point. It says, this day and age, that it is almost impossible to know the right thing to say. Which, you know, as I was writing down my thoughts, I just kind of put things down. But we live in an age where if we speak truth, we come against opposition. If we speak truth, we have those that are around us that say, you don't love everybody. How could you love everybody if you say this is wrong or that is wrong? You don't have love. But one thing Rick has said to us many times, that the presence of truth is not the absence of love. If we love somebody, we will tell them the truth. We will tell them what the Word of God says. We will show them by our example what Christ has done. We love them, and we love them because of the truth of God that resides in us and comes out from us. Only the Holy Spirit can use you to divinely speak truth into situations that otherwise would lack the wisdom of God. He will provide divine windows of opportunity to speak that truth. In John 14:17, it says this, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. They don't understand the truth, because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and he dwells in you. The Spirit of truth will open doors to speak life into every situation, both to the believer and the unbeliever alike. You can trust him. You can believe him, that if you will yield to the moving of the Holy Spirit, he will use you for his glory. You will see your circumstances change. You will see your surroundings change. You will see your friends change. You will see those that you work with change. You will see your families change. Those that have been watching you for years and years and years will change whenever they see the glory of God come upon you and move through you by the presence of the Holy Spirit. Well, that's really what I had to share. I know that it's not a lot. I know that it is not, we've only gone through two verses in Colossians this morning. But I think it's enough that we can, if we take it in, if we understand who we are and whose we are and why we are and how we are, we can start seeing God move in our midst. We can start seeing changes happen. You know, every one of us has had opportunity whenever we have been wrong that we could do something wrong against the one that has wronged us. But understand that that's not the way we need to be moving in the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, we have a separate, different set of standards. It says when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord raises up a standard. That standard himself is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is that standard. Jesus Christ is our hope. Jesus Christ is our love. Jesus Christ is our peace. In the midst of situations that seem very difficult, Jesus Christ is our answer. So I just want to close in prayer. Father, I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you, Jesus, that you've paid every price. You've made every way for us. Lord, when it seems that there is no way, you have made every way for us. Holy Spirit, use us for your glory. Fill us and pour us out. Fill us and pour us out. Fill us and pour us out into this generation that needs you. Lord, use us that others might come to you, Jesus. We love you. We exalt you. We praise you. We thank you, O Lord. We thank you that there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Lord, I thank you that you do not condemn us. You do not in any way make us feel like we have somehow not measured up, but that you, by your grace and mercy, continue to show us your love, continue to show us your mercy and your grace. I thank you that your truth resides in us. Thank you that your truth is unshakable, that there is nothing that can shake your truth, O God. Lord, I pray that even as today, as we're celebrating with Dave and Cindy, this wonderful, wonderful benchmark in their lives, we thank you for the examples that they have been, not only to their family, O God, but to everyone around them, O God. We pray that you bless them. We pray that you bless them abundantly with many, many, many more years to come. We thank you for your faithfulness to them. We thank you, O God, for your glory and your grace this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.